Welcome to Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Adina Broder, and today we'll be continuing in Sefer Yonah with Perek Bet. Perek Aleph ended with Yonah being cast into the sea. The opening words in Perek Bet are, V'iman Hashem da gadol levloa et Yonah. Hashem appointed a large fish to swallow Yonah. Yonah certainly would have drowned if Hashem hadn't arranged for this fish to swallow him. Why didn't Hashem just let Yonah drown? I know this question seems harsh, but we have a principle brought down in Gemara and Sanhedrin that teaches that Hakovish et Nevuato, one who suppresses the prophecy that he's meant to deliver, mitatobi de shamayim, he deserves death. Since Yonah refused to go to Nineveh, Hashem could have imposed the death penalty on him and found a different Navi to warn Nineveh. So why didn't he? One answer could be that technically, Yonah didn't fail to deliver a prophecy, because Hashem hadn't yet given him the nevuah of what to say to the people of Nineveh. As we mentioned at the beginning of Perek Aleph, Yonah was running away in order to prevent himself from getting that nevuah, which would have compelled him to deliver it. According to this view, since Yonah hadn't yet received that nevuah, his actions didn't warrant death. Another opinion is based on Yonah's motives, which we said were to protect Bnei Israel. Either Yonah didn't want to help Assyria become worthy to act as Hashem's tool in punishing Bnei Israel, or Yonah didn't want Bnei Israel to look bad in comparison to the people of Nineveh who immediately did tshuva. Since Yonah's motives were pure, Hashem arranged for him to be saved. There's another view, which is based on the principle that Ein Shnei Nevi'im Mitnabim B'Signon Echad, no two Nevi'im prophesize in the same manner. This implies that Hashem can't just choose any Navi to deliver a prophecy, but he must select the appropriate one. Here, Yonah was the right candidate to deliver this prophecy, which is why Hashem saved him. An alternative approach is based on the inverse of that idea. Rather than the task requiring Yonah, this view says that Yonah required the task. Hashem kept Yonah alive because this experience would help Yonah grow and transform a faulty philosophy which he held. We'll see this more in Perek Dalet. I'd like to suggest another reason why Hashem saved Yonah. To do this, we need to take a broad look at Tanakh. There are three places where a nation engages in behavior described as Hamas, which result in Hashem wanting to destroy them. The first case was during Dor HaMabel. The second was the people of Sodom, and the third is with the city of Nineveh. In each case, Hashem informs someone of the impending destruction, Noach, Avraham, and Yonah, respectively. When Noach hears that the world will be destroyed, he is content to simply follow Hashem's command to build the ark in order to save his family. There's no mention of Noach trying to convince anyone else to change their ways. And indeed, when the flood finally arrives, it's only Noach's family who bore the teva. When Avraham finds out that Hashem intends to destroy Sodom, he takes a different approach. He davens for them to be spared if even a small number of people in the city are righteous. But we know that those efforts were to no avail. Now in this Sefer, Yonah is told that Nineveh will be destroyed. But Hashem doesn't leave it at that. He gives Yonah a method he can use to save the people, namely by warning them of what will happen if they don't repent. Hashem wants us to know of this third possible reaction to hearing that people are in danger. The reason is that this isn't just talking about nations who might be destroyed, but about anyone who is following the wrong path and heading for tragedy. Noach's response to this situation had been to do nothing to rescue the people. Avraham davened on the people's behalf to try to save them. And Yonah was meant to teach us that we can try to help people improve their behavior to avoid the impending punishment. But what does Yonah do? He follows the approach of Noach, of hopping on a boat and leaving the people to perish. The many parallels that exist between the Noach and Yonah stories, the similar setting on a boat in the water, both involving a Yonah, and both including the names Tarshish and Nineveh, are there so that we'll compare the two stories, and in particular, the behavior of these two protagonists. Yonah was supposed to improve on Noach's inaction, but instead, he took a page right out of Noach's playbook. But that's not the lesson that Hashem wants us to learn, and so he needs to save Yonah so that he can fulfill his mission in order to teach us this important message. Whatever Hashem's reason was, and likely it was several, if not all, of the above motivations, he saved Yonah from drowning by being swallowed by a fish. In Pasuk Aleph, the fish that swallowed Yonah is described as a dag, but on Pasuk Bet, it's called a daga. Many commentaries explain this disparity by saying that Yonah was first swallowed by a male fish, but then that fish spit him out, only for Yonah to be subsequently swallowed by a female fish. Why would Hashem cause this to happen? Chazal say that Yonah had plenty of space inside the male fish, and so he didn't feel enough discomfort that would compel him to daven to Hashem to save him. Therefore, Hashem relocated Yonah inside a pregnant female fish, where the tight quarters would cause him to call out to Hashem. Our rabbis tell us that this situation is similar to us being in galus. When things are good and comfortable, how much do we daven for Geula? In fact, Chazal say that sometimes Hashem puts us in a difficult situation so that we'll turn to him in prayer. A classic example of this is with the Imahos having trouble conceiving. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah states that the reason that the Imahos faced this adversity was because Hashem desired the tfilos of tzaddikim. Rabbi Yosef Albo, in his Sefer HaIkarim, brings a halacha based on this idea. He says that when a person is in a time of tzara, if he doesn't daven to Hashem at that time, it shows a lack of emunah, because by not davening, the person is implying that he doesn't think that Hashem has hashkacha over the situation to change it. If we truly believe that Hashem controls everything that happens in the world, then of course we would ask for his help when we're in dire straits. Rav Albo addresses a person who might be reluctant to do so, because he feels that it would be audacious of him to call out to Hashem in a time of distress, particularly if he doesn't daven at other times. He might think that Hashem will respond like a human being, saying, "Oh, now you're davening to me when you need something, but at other times, I never hear from you." But Rav Albo tells us that Hashem doesn't operate with these types of human sensitivities. He wants us to turn to him in troubled times, regardless of if we daven on a regular basis. Again, not doing so puts our bitachon into question. The majority of this perek, Psukim Gimel through Yud, are Yonah's tefillah from inside the fish. There are two unusual things that stick out when we read Yonah's prayer. First, in Yonah's tefillah, he uses the past tense, as if Hashem has already saved him. But at this point, Yonah is in the belly of the fish, awaiting salvation. Here are some examples. In Pasuk Gimel, he says, "Karati mitzara li el Hashem v'ya'aneni. I called out for my trouble, and Hashem answered me." And in Pasuk Zion, Yonah says, "Vatal mishachat chayai. You brought my life up from the pit." Yonah is speaking as if he has already been saved. This shows Yonah's tremendous emunah, that he knew beyond a doubt that Hashem would save him, so much so that in his mind it was as if it had already happened. The second surprising thing about Yonah's tefillah is that it doesn't contain a bakasha, a request. Instead, there's only shevach, praise. For example, in Pasuk Yud, Yonah says, "Va'ani b'kol todah es b'chalach. In my thanks, I will sacrifice to you." You would think that with Yonah in this very precarious situation, his tefillah would be mostly, if not all, bakasha. But we don't find this. Again, he was a man of such bitachon that he praises Hashem for a salvation that has not yet occurred. When you read through the story of Yonah like we are, and analyzing his words, it completely refutes the superficial view that some people have that Yonah thought that he could run away from Hashem. That would imply a lack of emunah on his part. This is the furthest thing from the truth. Yonah actually epitomizes what true emunah is. He was certainly a flawed individual, like we all are, but his shortcomings aren't related to his emunah. Before we end the perek, I want to point out a subtle but important element that is encompassed within Yonah's tefillah. If you recall from the last perek, Yonah had indicated that death was preferable to him than helping Nineveh. Here, Yonah knows that if he survives, he will receive the complete nevuah from Hashem, which will then require him to counsel Nineveh to repent. Clearly, if Yonah was in the same mindset as before, he wouldn't have wanted Hashem to save him from death. The fact that Yonah is now praising Hashem for saving him proves that Yonah has accepted his fate as the one who will warn Nineveh. And so, even though it's not written explicitly in the text, we see that Yonah has done tshuva for his prior wrongdoing. And with that accomplished, Hashem commands the fish to spit Yonah out onto dry land. That's the conclusion of Perek Bet. I look forward to learning Perek Gimel with you next time.